With the exception of another Bills victory, it has been a pretty bad week in Buffalo. Jim Heaney joins us now with a couple of stories about the city of Buffalo's financial health. He's the founder and editor of Investigative Post, and you can see the stories that we're going to be talking about today online at investigativepost.org. Jim, welcome back.
It's been a great week, Susan. The sun's been out.
I'm sorry.
The weather's pleasant. Come on. It's not snowing. It's just a beautiful day.
We have different thresholds. Okay. So tell us about what you guys have been looking at.
Well, Jeff Kelly, who joined our staff in April, has been doing a great job of bird-dogging what's going on in Buffalo City Hall, particularly as it relates to city finances. I think the last time I was on, I talked a little bit about the financial problems
Sure.
the city's experience. So let me give you a bit of an update. It's their fiscal year ended June 30th. It appears that they finished with a deficit following the filings on the city comptroller's office. Is a little bit like following a bouncing ball. They almost certainly ended in a deficit. How much? Could be as much as $10 million. And this is a recurring theme. The city has been not covering its expenses with revenues for years now.
But they don't have a cushion this year.
They've drained the reserve accounts that are eligible to do things like plug budget gaps. So they've got a new problem. They've got a budget deficit, and they've got no way of covering it. And again, this is a result of years of structurally imbalanced budgets.
So this is something that has led to some credit rating agencies giving Buffalo a bad grade.
Yeah, I mean they issued warnings in the spring, and Fitch Ratings, one of the three major rating agencies, last Friday lowered the boom and lowered their credit rating. It's still a reasonably good credit rating, but they have lowered it, and they made it pretty clear that the kind of the kind of problems that we've been exposing are problems that the rating agencies have concerns about. They didn't need our reporting to tell them that, but
it helped.
The fact is that the city has not been, again, they haven't been running balanced budgets for years, and they've been draining the reserves, and the chickens are starting to come home to roost.
What it means when a credit rating is lowered is it affects how much it costs the entity to borrow inversely. So Buffalo will spend more to borrow money.
Yeah, and they've got the mayor has some rather ambitious capital purchases that he wants to make in the coming year. And it's going to cost a little bit more. If they get downgraded yet again, it'll cost yet more. Of course, the mayor's response is to continue to be in denial.
Well, what has he said exactly?
Well, basically that he disagrees with the thinking behind Fish's decision to drop their credit rating.
He's taking issue with the credit rating agency.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. They don't have a complete understanding of what a wonderful job I'm doing is kind of the bottom line to what he has to say.
Isn't it their job to know what's going on financially and the things that they assess?
Yeah. I mean, they're a neutral party. They've got no axe to grind. It's very credible. The whole thing has finally gotten the Common Council, which has been kind of partners in crime with the mayor on this. They've pretty much rubber stamped every budget that the mayor has put in front of them for years. The Common Council president, Darius Pridgen, and some others are now saying, "Whoa, we can't continue business as usual. We're going to have to have more transparency about what's going on. We're going to have to address we're going to have to address the problems that have been reported. So it looks like the council, now whether or not they follow through given the mayor's continued, you know, kind of abstinence on this stuff, yet to be seen, because the council historically the last 3 or 4 years under the current leadership has been very passive and pretty much let Brown do what he wants when it comes to just about everything, including the budget. So hopefully they're going to, you know, acquire a spine here and start to exercise some legislative oversight.
It sounds like from your reporting that this financial situation is trickling down and affecting a lot of the things that the city has to do for the public, like, you know, guard them, protect them, and serve.
Well, you know, one of the examples, and it's the other big story that Jeff has broken in the past month, is you know, they have not been spending money to replace police patrol cars. Usually, the kind of the standard, the industry standard, is you turn over your fleet, you know, about a third of your fleet a year, which in Buffalo's case, you know, means, I don't know, 50 cars plus. The city has not been doing that. The city's been spending very little. You know, when they do purchase new cars, it's 10, 15, 20 a year. And as a result, Buffalo police on any given shift only have about half the squad cars necessary available to them. So you've got a lot of cops that are sitting around in precinct houses doing desk work instead of being patrolling or responding to 911 calls.
And this is a lot more serious than it sounds. I mean, the guy that you interviewed, the guy from the Police Benevolent Association, or I should say Jeff interviewed, says that, you know, getting out there in cars is how officers learn the craft of policing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the newer cops tend to be the ones, you know, stuck on desk duty. They're not getting the experience. The whole situation, the head of the PBA is called the dire. I mean, quote, dire, unquote. You know, they've got old cars, many in a state of disrepair. The mechanical, you know, the police mechanics, you know, work is backed up. They're understaffed. So you've got old cars that are breaking down without the capacity to maintain and repair them in a timely fashion. And cops working with half the number of cars they're supposed to have. It does not promote public safety. Let's put it that way. And the mayor's response to all this, of course, through his spokesman, because the mayor just doesn't like to answer questions that he doesn't want to discuss, is, oh, well, we'll use capital funds to purchase cars. But the city has prohibitions against using capital funds for items that don't have a lifespan of, you know, at least 5 years, and the average cop car is supposed to turn over in 3 years.
Well, so, wouldn't Fitch and other rating agencies frown upon that as well?
Perhaps. I mean, I don't think we've posed that question specifically, but, you know, you're not spending money on police cars the way you should, and it affects the performance that police are supposed to be doing. And obviously the rank and file cops are not happy about this, nor should they be. I mean, Buffalo years ago negotiated a new set of parameters with the union that allowed the city to move to one officer cars. And the police union is telling Jeff that it's not uncommon for cops to have to be 2, 3, even 4 cops to a car, which kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a mess.
And, yeah, that's so you have talked to the PBA president and vice president. Is it something that they talk about or will be on their agenda in the next conversations about union contracts?
I don't know. It's really not a subject of union negotiations. They've moved. They're negotiating now, and it's moved. It hasn't gone to arbitration. It's whatever mediation. But you know, the police union has said, you know, this is not, you know, this is not a subject of bargaining. I mean, this is just a basic obligation the administration has to provide police with proper equipment.
Yeah, it's a tool that they use every day.
Yeah, it includes cars, and not having them, you know, impacts the police department's ability to do its job. And again, the mayor is just, as the mayor is with a lot of things, you know, in a state of, at least publicly, in a state of denial. And I'll add, while we're talking about things not getting done, that there's still no movement. I was on a while back to talk about how the city had not at that point acted on any recommendations, or hadn't acted on many recommendations made to it more than a year ago to address the city's lead poisoning problem. And unfortunately, they still haven't done anything. I mean, I probably talked about that 3 or 4 months ago. And there's still no action out of the Brown administration or the Common Council on that as well. So, you know, we've kind of got a municipal government here that in a lot of ways just kind of treading water.
It's really a tragedy, especially with the lead poisoning issue. And without a functioning police force, or one that isn't functioning with the tools that it needs, more tragedies could be on the horizon. It's a shame. So investigativepost.org to read these two stories. There is more that I wanted to talk to you about, Jim Heaney. We wanted to talk about another reporter that you guys are adding, plus you're retooling your staff. What does that mean? Should we be scared?
The original staff the original staff I had have all moved on.
They've matriculated. That's what we use. That's what we say. Matriculated.
Yeah, Charlotte Keith left to join the investigative reporting team at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Mm. Daniela Peratt is left and is now with ProPublica.
Oh, great.
A fellow who we had here, Marsha McLeod, is now at the Globe and Mail in Toronto. Hmm. You know, I hired Jeff Kelly, who is the editor of The Public, the alternative weekly here, who's turned out to be just a great hire. He's like a walking encyclopedia. So he's doing a lot of politics and finance work. Kate Kay joined us, a Buffalo native who I recruited from Portland, Oregon, joined us about a month ago, month and a half ago. And
you warned her about the winters, right?
Just making sure. Well, actually, she's a Buffalo native.
Oh, gotcha.
So she's coming home after 20 years away. Mm-hmm. And then Allie Ingersoll, who just got a master's degree in data journalism. She got a lot of TV background. She worked for one of the other stations here prior to that. Allie just joined us today, so we've got, and I'm very excited about the Allie's got TV experience, which, you know, the rest of us, it's all been on the job training. You know, we now have somebody who actually knows what she's doing when it comes to television.
This is great. Is nice. Good news.
Yeah.
What else?
That's the big thing. I mean, we're doing a social next month at Community Beer Works to kind of introduce the staff to the public.
So next month, Beer Works, October 10th, investigativepost.org for more information on this and the big retool, which in no way refers to Jim Heaney, who is the founder and editor of Investigative Post. Thank you, Jim. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks, Susan.
Bye.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.